Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Fight about the dumbest stuff.
Oh yeah, and we're willing to defend our position no matter how stupid it is, right? Here's one of the things we fight about is I love food, right? So I'm good if you want to share food, split food, whatever, but if we get our entree, I'm going to go ahead and cut it down the center. Because if you come on my side of the line, my fork might find the middle of your hand.
She will stab you.
I'm just saying, right? Just don't mess with my food.
So today we're going to be talking to single people and married people, and we're going to have an absolute blast. The Bible has a lot to say about relationships. I mean, everything in your life revolves around relationships, whether it be with your kids or people you work with, relationship with God. And we always pride ourselves every week at Faith Church teaching you stuff on Sunday that you can take and apply in your life on Monday that's real and relevant. Give it up for such a great church. What a great team. Awesome stuff. First place we want to go is James. James chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You want something, but you just don't get it." Oftentimes we, you know, always about us. I mean, I want to eat where I want to eat. I want to do what I want to do. I, me. And it's really not really the way to win friends and influence people and get along.
But we all do it, right? How many of you are into, if you want to eat Taco Bell and they want McDonald's, you'll go to McDonald's, but you still want Taco Bell? Right? You just, we naturally protect ourselves. It's normal. Everybody say it's normal. Say it's everybody. And that way, if we say it's everybody, then we get more okay with it being that it's us too.
Absolutely. And it's just normal to do that. So one of the things I want to start out with is just talking about dating. How many of y'all are single in the room? Raise your hand real high if you're single. Raise your hand if you're single and you're ready to mingle. No, okay. So you see on the front row, she's like, hey, it's me.
Come on,
it's very important, I think, that you're looking for the right person to find the right person. And a couple of things that we have found over life's journey that will really help you is not looking for love in all the wrong spots, right? Mm-hmm. When you put God first and you become complete in Him, then you're not looking for a man or a woman to complete you. You know, hey, I'm fine with who I am right now. And then when God, you know, sees fit, He's going to bring the right person into my life that's going to complement who I am and what I'm called to do. Instead, oftentimes people get in a hurry because they're lonely. Right. I say oftentimes that I'd rather be lonely alone than lonely with someone. Mm-hmm. So if you get the wrong person in your life, you're only going to continue that pattern, that cycle of divorce and division, and it keeps you back from your greater purpose. So one thing you can do is finding the right person. Is the Bible says, be not unequally yoked with one another in the scriptures. So one of the ways you do that is find a person at church. Find a person that has the same interest as you do. And when that happens, it works a lot better than finding somebody that you're like, man, I really like him, but you know what? He sure needs a lot of changing. Mm-hmm. Because if you're fighting before you get married, you're like, we need counseling. How many of y'all know you're screwed? I mean, listen.
Come on, somebody. You know, and that's the thing. You know, relationships are worth fighting for, but you shouldn't be fighting before you're really in the relationship. Right? So if you're fighting, if you can't get along and you're not married, the answer is not get married and have a baby. That'll stop our fights. Because you're just getting started, right? If you are married and you're not getting along, the answer is not have a baby that will fix our problems. It's dealing with where we are right now. And I'm telling you, if you're single and you're looking for, you know, that person that's going to make you happy. You know, we were studying on this, and they did a study in psychology, and people's level of happiness before they were married, they did a study on folks for 15 years. 15 years later, after they'd been married a number of years, their level of happiness was the same. So being married or being single doesn't make you happy in and of itself. It's letting Christ work in you. It's being comfortable with who you are. It's being comfortable in the relationship is what makes you happy. We can't make ourselves happy. How many of you know you can't make yourself happy? You try, but you still want to lose 5 pounds and eat all the French toast in the world. We can't make ourselves happy. God is what makes us happy. And what we do is when we try and put somebody else in that position and we want them to make us happy, what we've honestly done is we've raised up an idol and put them in God's place. And that's never, ever going to work. God's going to be sure that doesn't work because He doesn't want us making this person our idol. He wants to be our idol that whole time so that this person can help be a part of us and complete us and be one, but not take God's place.
And being realistic, you know, if it's like, man, all he does is watch sports. He's watching ESPN all day. Sits on the couch all Saturday and all Sunday. Was he doing that, man, before you got married? Yeah. Well, voila, you knew the dude
surprise!
Loves SportsCenter. It's the way it is. I'm not a sports guy, but my son is, Austin, and my stepson. He woke up, like, you know, when he was two and turned on Sports Channel, and he has never, ever turned it off. He'll be reading his Bible, studying to preach, and he has ESPN. So that's who he is. So when him and Morgan got married, mm-hmm. she knew this is not going to change. This is what Austin does.
So the girl that he married, they did this thing called hashtag Real Talk, and I was really proud of them for doing it. I was like, dude, why didn't I do Real Talk? That would have saved me time.
I wouldn't
have
had to marry this loser.
Oh, no. Baby, you cute.
She's redeeming. I'm still upset right now from that last comment. Why didn't I do it? Well, the reason why you didn't do it, because there was no texting back then. We had a bag phone. You couldn't text on a bag phone.
I kind of do wonder about that, because when we would be dating, I'd be like, you hang up. No, you hang up. And then we'd kind of wait for each other to hang up, and you kind of drag the conversation on because you didn't want to hang up. Did you ever fall asleep while you were on the phone with that person? Yeah. Oh, sorry, I fell asleep. How do you do that on texting? You know what I mean? You quit texting. No, you quit. I don't get that.
TTYL. Talk to you later, right? Is that what they say?
Yeah, there you go. Wow, look at him be all cool. Okay, so anyway, Real Talk. So we're talking about Real Talk, right? So they did this thing called Real Talk where they just got for real with the questions. And here's the thing. A lot of times we think, I have a tendency. How many of you don't like conflict? You don't like it. You like, if you can avoid it. Here's the stupid thing about conflict, is if you avoid it, the situation never gets better. It only gets worse, because you're left to think whatever you're thinking, they're left to think whatever they're thinking, and they just start getting mad on their opposite sides and moving farther apart. It doesn't just resolve itself magically. We have to talk about these things. So the elephant in the room never goes away without discussing how do we get rid of the elephant. But there is a difference between fighting and tension. Tension can be a good thing. There can be all kinds of tension. There can be sexual tension. I feel it. You feel it. Baby, you hot. I like it.
There's a lot of tension in our marriage.
You mean?
It's tense. Our kids, we actually talk this way in front of our kids, and they're like, oh my God, get a room. I'm like, these are all our rooms. You be sleeping in our room. Huh? Come on, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh God, please don't tell me you went in my room while I was gone. We defiled your bed.
TMI, baby, TMI.
Hey, listen, it's 10:45. These are the wild people. These guys didn't even wake up till 10.
And I just want to say, if you came for the baby dedication, welcome to Faith Church.
I can tell you, every guy that came for the baby dedication who hadn't been to church are like, I'm going to that church, honey. We're going back.
Well, and here's the thing. You could try and get your information about how to live in this world from the world, but that's all made up, and that's all lies, and that's all the enemy. Or you could try and get your information about how to live in the world from the Bible at church.
God
made it. So
let's
go ahead and have some of that healthy tension at church. And talk about the things that are messing everybody up, because everybody wants a good marriage. So tension, don't be afraid of tension. What that was right there and what he diffused with humor was actually tension. Tension is okay as long as tension isn't okay. Tension is necessary and it's actually good. It's not letting that tension turn into a fight. By creating a safe environment. Everybody say safe environment.
Safe environment.
People need a safe environment to come out and actually share what's going on in the world. So a week or two ago, we were actually prepping this message for the relationship conference in Florida. And while we were prepping the message, I didn't know what was going on, but I knew the day wasn't right. He was aggravated. It was obvious. And I wasn't sure, was he aggravated at me or why or what was going on, but I knew it was.
I never get aggravated.
But
that guy's really laughing. He's like, that's hilarious.
He must have a camera in our house.
Yeah,
but So things weren't going right, and I knew we were preaching on relationships, so I was like, man, I better, like, use my words, right, because I know what's coming up. So I went up to him, and I said, hey, I just kind of took him by the arms and said, I don't know what's going on today, if I have aggravated you, or if I have upset you, or what I have done, but if you're upset with me, would you share that with me so I can fix it, because I don't like what's going on between us right now. What I wanted to do is I wanted to just get out of the room with him because he was driving me nuts. And then I wanted to give him an attitude because I felt like he had an attitude. And I'm like, what's your problem, player? Why you got a dude? I didn't even do nothing. I mean, this is what's going on in my head and what I wanted to say, but that's what I went in and did. When I did that, what he didn't do was be like, you know what? Yeah, you were on my last nerve. You snored all night and you left your dirty clothes and you spit in the sink. And he didn't tell me the 27 things I did wrong. He actually, in this instance, wasn't aggravated with me. He said, you know what? I think I'm upset about some other stuff. And we talked about it. But when somebody comes to you and asks you, makes space and asks if something's going on with them, Proverbs 14:17, it says that a quick-tempered man is foolish. And how many of you have a temper? Raise your hands, baby.
I got them all up. My little toe even went up.
We all have a temper, so we have to manage it. But if we want to get rid of the elephant in the room, it's our job to give our loved ones space to talk about it, and then like hold our tongue, hold our thoughts, and like measure ourselves to be able to get it out there. Giving them space to talk is one of the hardest things to do, but it's the way to get the elephant
out. And if you don't communicate, you go and have a private pity party. Anybody know what a pity party is? Raise your hand. Anybody ever threw a big, huge pity party for yourself, by yourself? Mm. It's lonely, isn't it? Just you. And so this is probably, I don't know how long, 16 years ago or something. We all went to Destin, Florida, the whole family. And, you know, Nicole had done something that made me mad or something. Instead of discussing with her, like we are now, and trying to teach you to do that, it's a lot better. I just went ahead and had a pity party. So I went out on the deck by myself at this condo, opened it up, kind of made a lot of noise so I'd be sure she knew I was leaving. And so I went outside, and I'm sitting there, and I'm kind of looking after like 30 minutes, and she's in there playing games with the kids, man. I looked in, I thought, oh, my God, they're playing Monopoly. That's going to take forever. Monopoly. And I'm sitting there mad, and the devil's like, you're such a good husband, and look what you've done. You're providing even for her son. Look what all you've done. You're such a good dad. You're this. It's all good stuff about me and bad stuff about her. How many of y'all know this is the devil? Mm. Come on, raise your old lying hand.
Come on, there's got to be one good thing about me. Raise your hands, y'all.
So I'm out there by myself, and now the sun's starting to go down. It's starting to get cold. I'm like, oh, my gosh, it's forever. What in the world? So I went ahead and went inside. When I went inside, she goes, oh, my gosh, I didn't know you were outside. So I'm like, yes, I was outside. What were you doing outside? She thought I was enjoying the sunset. You know, she's like, oh, I guess you were enjoying the sunset. I'm like, no, it was no sunset. I was upset because look here. And it's just immaturity, right? But at the end of the day, that first scripture we read, it's all about us. We're childish. We want what we want. Instead of now, she's communicating and I'm communicating. It's better to head it off at the pass rather than going Taylor Swift and write a breakup song about the thing, right? You need to move forward and communicate with one another, especially guys like my father-in-law. He's incredible. Bob.
He's got two words that he says. You're going to ask him something, he's going to say, that's right.
That's right.
That's what my dad says. Ask him anything. That's right.
But he's a great guy. He worked at Chrysler Plant his whole life, worked on the factory line, never really talked to anybody, a lot of loud noises. Now he doesn't even necessarily hear everything my mother-in-law is saying, which you know, I've told him that's an awesome blessing, right? It's like half the fights they have, he's just like, he doesn't even know they had them, okay? So, but he's not a communicator. It doesn't make him bad. That's who he is. But I do want to encourage you to try to communicate.
Right.
Tell that person you love them. Tell that person, this word diffuses anger like crazy, is I am sorry. Mm. Let's practice that.
I am sorry.
And if somebody says they're sorry, you don't say, yes, you are. You sure are sorry.
But in 93% of communication is not verbal communication. Only 7% of communication is the words that come out of our mouth. So I'm going to freak the cameraman out because I'm going to get ready to go over here, sit with David real quick. So if I come over here, hey, baby, how you doing?
How you doing? Whoa, hello. Now we are communicating.
How many of you know that communicated a lot right there? But if I take his head right now and I look at him and say, hey, look at me. I love you, baby. Let's talk about Donald Duck for a minute. Let's talk about communicating. So the first year we were married, he had been divorced. I have been divorced. We've both been divorced. And that's what a lot of what we're doing right now is we're trying to keep you from going through the pain of divorce because, man, it does not feel good. And But he was still hurt. So he could tell me that he loved me two different ways for about the first, what, the time we were dating and the first year we were married or so. He could do it by not looking me in the eyes. He'd be like,
I love you. Yeah, I love you.
Or if you looked me in the eyes,
I love you.
So I hid behind Donald Trump. I
Donald
built a
Duck.
Wall. I built a wall. Come on now. He's always building a wall, right?
I
built a wall.
And somehow this Donald Duck voice protected him from being hurt. I guess in his head, you know, Donald was telling me, love me. Donald Trump or Donald Duck?
Well, both. I do have a story that I've never told this publicly. We were in a restaurant a couple weeks ago, maybe a month ago, at an establishment eating. Very fine place with some friends who brought us there. Donald Trump walks in, and all these people are going crazy, and they're taking pictures of him. And Donald, promise you, Nicole Crank! David, get over here! I was watching you in the middle of the night last night with that tennis racket preaching. You're incredible. I'm like, what about me? So,
you're not as cute as I am. So I don't even remember what we're talking. Oh, nonverbal communication. How many of you know it's okay to have fun in church? How many of you are going to remember this message?
I guarantee you we're the only church where the preacher has his wife. Joel's not doing this right now. Victoria's sitting on my lap right now. I got my own Victoria's Secret, and I like it. God has favored me. I believe it's going to be a good year. Did you enjoy it today? I know you did. I never like to close a broadcast without hugging Victoria before I leave. Sorry, Joel.
No, he's not. He didn't mean it.
Yes, I did.
So if I look at him right now and I say, I love you, baby. That even made you feel something. But same words. If we're fighting and he's like, but I love you. And I'm like, yeah, I love you, baby. Walking away. How many of you know that feels completely different? So we have to watch. We not only got to watch what we say. So, you know, we got to watch how we say it. And we got to watch what we're doing when we say it. So if we're
creating a safe environment. I created a safe environment. I sat there and I didn't say a word.
But you're going like this.
Have you ever thought that on the inside, though? You're like, blah, 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 blah. Shut it. God, shut up.
So it's not just what we say, it's how we say it with our voice, and then also what our body is doing when we say it. So, I mean, communication can be such a slippery slope, but in Matthew 12, 25, Jesus says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand, and a city or a house divided against itself cannot stand. There's only one way to keep our house together, and that is making sure that we're both pointed the same direction, to make sure we're both thinking the same thing, to make sure we're both staying on the same page. And the only way we can do that is communicate. Everybody say communicate.
You know, let's talk about this for a minute, about finding the right person. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 5:22, lay hands on no man suddenly. In other words, don't get in a relationship right away. Like, hey, I'm going right now. I need somebody bad. Because when you need somebody bad, you can get somebody bad. So you need to ask some questions that are important. You need to ask, number one, does this joker have a job? Okay. So if he has a six-pack abs, he probably doesn't have a job because he's too busy working out, because a man with a job runs home and needs loads of carbs. Come on, guys, stick with me on this. That is the reason why we don't have six-pack abs, okay? Maybe. But does the guy have a job? What's the guy think about kids? You have kids. You don't have kids. Do you want kids?
What about money?
What about money?
Is it going to be he money and she money? Is the money going to go together? Is the money going to go apart? You can't think about the money's going to be the way your parents were, because what if his parents had separate accounts and your parents had joint accounts? So you got to talk about the money.
And the other thing you got to talk about is not only that, but just the church. I mean, with God. People all the time, women come up to me at church and they go, man, hey, PD, will you pray for me? You know, my husband, I want him to go to church so bad. Me and the kids go to church. He didn't go to church. I go, okay, where did you meet the guy? Okay, I met him in a bar. Okay, so he didn't go to church then. Yep, no. So he was very clear. He did not want to go to church.
Yeah.
Okay, are you, and here's the key, are you harping on him to go to church? Are you mean to him because he doesn't go to church? I've found the women who had the best success rate in the world of getting their husband to go to church is when they go to church, they come home and they're like cooking food. They're loving on the guy. Let me help you. Hey, you know what? I get so excited. I just can't wait to see you. If every Sunday when you go to church, you come back and rock his world, he will want you to go to church. And eventually he'll come to this church because he's like, I like that pastor. Right? We be friends. Y'all see what I'm saying? So the Bible says that you win over your husband by your honest, wholesome conversation mm-hmm. and your love and your hospitality. So loving somebody is the best way to motivate them. I can't believe you don't go to church. Right. I can't believe you're a bad dad. Because guys want to feel respected. I mean, I want to feel respect. Every guy does because right. everyone's insecure. How many of y'all in here, you're insecure? Some of you too insecure to raise your hand, but I know you are. So you're insecure. So we need to build up that man. We also need to do the same thing to make women want to feel security. I let Nicole know all the time, I love you. I want to be with you. I mean, mm-hmm. even we were years ago, I don't know, it was probably 10, I don't even know how many years ago, but so she was upset because we were with some friends and in Miami and we're walking along this intercoastal.
Oh, I totally remember this, yeah.
And there was like all these single girls and they were looking for a guy.
Oh man, it was so nasty, you guys. I mean, there was this... It's supposed to be a steakhouse, but they have, like, it's Miami, so there's like, an outdoor bar area, right? Well, all these 50-something-year-old women were dressed like they were trying to be 20-something, skirts up to here and shirts down to there and hair done, makeup done, heels too high. I mean, who might talk about too high heels, right? But it was like, really? You got to try and be like that now to try and get with something? And I just looked at him, and I said, baby, do not ever leave me because I am not willing to do that. I'm just no part of me is willing to do that.
And she was so upset about it, you know, and I had to go to California that weekend to preach somewhere. And so I just went out and I don't even know if I can get it up here because I can't, but
because your biceps are so huge.
Yeah, my arms are so huge. So I put her name. It says N-I-C-O-L-E. And it cost extra money because the square footage, they wanted extra money to put that on there. That's a little arm, right? A little bitty arm. But I came back with that Nicole on my arm. Because I wanted her to know, I love you, be secure in who we are. The last thing I ever want, I've told her, I said, if you leave, that's fine, but I'm going with you. I'm going to leave with you. Amen?
No,
come on, give it up for security.
Everybody go, aww. And for the fact that he would do that, because he came home from that trip and he said, I got a tattoo of your name on my arm. And I said, no, you didn't. Because I knew he was not getting a tattoo. He showed it to me, and I said, that's henna. That's washing off next week. And he's like, no, for real, it's real. And I had to see the little scabs to think that it really happened, to know for sure that it had really happened. But for him to do something like that for me, it meant so much to me, especially the motivation. He made himself vulnerable to tell me why he did that. And he did that because he knew that I was feeling insecure about him ever leaving me because I had been left before. And I tell you what, guys, it meant everything to me that he was willing to just commit to being with me forever. Because I told him, divorce is not an option, but I own a 38.
That didn't scare me, but she has a Glock too. And I was like, wow, yeah. I'm sticking around. So communicating, know what the other person needs and give them what they need. Let's go to this scripture in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for everything. Okay? So two things I want to say. Right now, you might be in a season in your marriage where it's like, man, it's boring. You love them, but you don't like them. Like, I just don't like her. I just don't like him. We got to find the root cause of why you don't like each other. I guarantee you, if you'll do a couple things, that little things can make a huge difference. Number one, it's going back and saying, hey, you know what? Heard this teaching from Faith Church. We're going to apply this right away. I want to start communicating with you, honey, and I don't think I've done it all right. I'm certainly not going to do it all right, but I want to move forward in this because you're the only person I ever want to be with. And then start communicating without this, the cell phone. I'm all for cell phones, but oftentimes we can be on a date with each other and we're actually on a date with our kids. We're texting the office. We're texting this. Yeah. There comes a time where you got to turn it on airplane mode, put it down, because this can be the enemy in your relationship mm-hmm. because now you're not communicating to one another. This is a problem.
Well, there's another thing about the phones, too. The phone, if you have a phone and it's got a lock code, cool, I get that. It's all about security. But if you've got a phone and it's got a lock code and your kids and your spouse do not have access to your phone, You're inviting trouble into your life, and here's why. There's a scripture in the Bible that said that when the hedge is broken, the serpent bites. It's important for us to put hedges of protection around our life. And if somebody is locked out of our computer, if somebody is locked out of our phone, that's an area where the enemy knows I can get in there and I can be sneaky. Because it starts out with a guy from the office saying, hey, business stuff, have a great night. And you answer, wish I would, home alone. Oh, you're home alone? If I would, I don't know why any guy would treat his woman like that. He just sneaks right in there, Facebook messages, Instagram inboxes. And if your spouse doesn't have access to that, he can pick up his phone anytime. His thumbprint works on my phone. My daughter's thumbprint works on my phone. Same with him.
I put her thumbprint on mine just so if she did shoot me, I had her whereabouts.
So it's a space that the enemy can definitely try and move in. So if your phone is locked, just do that. Do it as a form of like that tattoo. Like, yeah, I'm not going to go get a tattoo, but what I am going to do today, watch, baby, I'm unlocking my phone. You have access to my phone today. And especially if you have two phones. But that's my work phone. It's still an area for the enemy to come in and try and just jack up your relationship. Because a lot of times the grass seems greener on the other side of the fence, but that's only because you haven't smelled her morning breath, seen her with her weave out, seen her with her Spanx off, seen all the trash in her toilet, in her toiletries, and all of that mess. It's just, she's the same mess as you are. The grass might look greener, but baby, it's grown on top of a septic tank, and we all know what's in there.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about this for a second. What about when you get married and you're like, oh, I found my woman. Ooh. Oh, I found my man. It's like, you used to work out, you used to watch what you eat. Now you're just like, oh, I mean, y'all understand what I'm saying.
Now I'm married.
So it's like now she, Nicole, yesterday we were some friends and down in the Keys, and we got on the plane to come back home, and she's putting on makeup. It's just going to be us in the plane. But, it makes me know she still loves me and cares about me. And she tells me. She's smart. She's getting the point. She goes, well, I'm putting my makeup on right now because I'm going to be with my man. Instead of being like, oh, I don't take care of myself at all till I go out somewhere else without you, okay? So it's important for you to continue to take care of yourself. If you're just in sweatpants all the time and you don't care anymore, okay, let's talk about that. Men like to, in the garden, God had Adam and Eve in the middle of the garden, okay? And he had them in this beautiful place, and they were both butt naked. Come on, got quiet up in this place. Because God knew that a man was and enjoyed this eye gate to look at a woman, and they like it. So at the end of the day, if you didn't write anything down, write it, Bob wants to see something naked at the end of the day. Okay?
I don't know who Bob is, but that just got creepy.
Come on, raise your hand, Bob. You know I'm talking to you right now.
Guys named Bob right now are sinking in their seat.
But you have to. You got to communicate that. So if you're like, man, I we've seen this. How many times have we seen this where there are people having relationship problems sexually, but it's like he or she's insecure because she doesn't feel like she looks the way she should look. Okay, number one, you have to know at the magazine rack at Walmart, those girls are photoshopped and those
airbrushed.
Girls don't eat, okay?
Airbrushed.
So that guy's cool with you the way you are. You rock that. You turn the light on, and you just let him see whatever it is. And women, Nicole did that. She's like, man, I got these stretch marks. I said, to get her over that insecurity, I said, those aren't stretch marks. Those are beauty marks from those two gorgeous kids you gave me. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now.
That's my man. Well, and the thing about sex is, you're single, you want your whole life to have sex, and then you get married and you think, well, now I'm done. I can have sex if I want or not have sex if I want. And that's exactly backwards. So let's talk about having sex before marriage, being single. Because it's hard. You're attracted to somebody and you're not having sex. Your hormones are all jacked up and excited about it, and then you're not supposed to have sex. And you're like, God only put that in the Bible to punish us. God is a good, good father, and he doesn't put anything in the Bible to try and hold things back from us. He only puts things in there that's good for us. And the reason he put that in there is because when you're physically intimate with somebody, it ties your soul to that person.
That's technically when you got married according to Scripture, not when a judge signed off on that.
And so if your soul is tied to somebody and then they leave, they take a piece of your soul with them. Have you ever met somebody that you know they've slept with everybody in the world and they're just a little interesting now? And you're like, what happened? Pieces of their soul are missing and they haven't had time to heal from these pieces of their soul missing. So that's why God says, don't let pieces of your soul go missing. Knit yourself to your person. And once your soul is knit together, and that's why it's so important to be physically intimate when you are married, your soul is supposed to be knit to that person. But if you never take time to knit it to that person, you're becoming detached. And then you're feeling like, I don't know what's wrong in our relationship anymore. So there is a book. I believe it's in our bookstore. If not, it's on Amazon. The name of it is Sexperiment. But if you're going to Google that, just be sure you're looking for this one certain book, because I'm not sure what else is going to come up.
It's by Ed and Lisa Young.
Ed and Lisa Young, they're pastors in Dallas, and it's a Christian book, and it talks about intentionally being physically intimate for 7 days in your marriage relationship. And especially if you're thinking about splitting up, if you're thinking divorce is an option, I want to really challenge you to do this intentionally. And you might be like, Why do we want to do this right now? Things aren't working. What if this could change things? What if this got you guys closer together? What if this knit your souls together again? What if you remembered why you were in love with each other? What if the physical intimacy brings emotional intimacy back into the relationship and gives you a space to start creating a safe environment to talk out whatever it is that's trying to put a wedge in between you guys? I'm here to tell you that divorce is not fun. If you are being abused mentally, physically, emotionally, you gotta get out. But out, if they're not being faithful to you, it might not work out, but I'm telling you, any other reason, it hurts so bad. And if you can miss it, it's worth 7 days of sex with the person you're married to. I'm just saying. Give God a hand for that. I mean, it might not sound exciting, but put on some good music, it can be.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com.